John 15 and verse 1. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. That's all we'll read today. There are four sections in this chapter. We mentioned it in our ad in the paper. You have the great parable, and we've just read about that great parable. Then you have in the next few verses, verses 9 to 11, you have a glorious partnership. We may not get to that this week. If we don't, we'll get to it next. Then you have a grim prediction in verses 18 to 25, and then the fourth, the gracious preacher, in the final two verses. We'll be dwelling this morning on the great parable that is the parable of the vine. It's very interesting that Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell quite a few parables. They record quite a few parables the Lord gave. But John gives only one parable, and that's this one. The only parable you find in John's Gospel is the parable of the vine. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not refer to it. So it must be very important when you find that John takes up this remarkable parable of the vine. These four sections he's mentioned to you take up four wonderful truths. You have abiding and fruit in the first section. You have love in connection with the second, that companionship, and you have hate in the third section, and you have the witness in the fourth. So this parable is the subject of fruit and applies to the Christian and the Christian only. Only a child of God can abide in Christ. And I trust that very clear. We'll emphasize it as we go along. This is the final great I Am of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John. We've mentioned that previously. First of all, in chapter 6, he opens up with, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Then he says in chapter 8, I am the light of the world. And then he tells us also, I am the good shepherd in chapter 10. And I am the door also in chapter 10. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life in chapter 11. And also, I am the way, he says in John 14:6. But now the seventh and final one, I am the vine. Christ is the vine. And you'll notice what he says, I am the true vine. Could there have been a false one? An untrue one? That caused them to say, I am the true vine, yes. Israel was the false vine. If you want to read the story about that, you read the first 5 verses of Isaiah chapter 5. God talks about planting a vine. He said, I had a wonderful vineyard. I cleaned out that vineyard, and I tilled that vineyard, and I planted in that vineyard a choice vine. What's he talking about? Israel. Did he not give them a wonderful vineyard, that is, the land of Canaan, with those luscious fruits, those grapes that were so big that it took two men to carry one bunch? God gave them a wonderful vineyard, and they were the choice nation. God selected them and planted them in the land of Canaan. And God says, I look forward after all my trouble of bringing them up out of Egypt, bringing them through the wilderness, planting them in that choice vineyard, and I cared for them, I watched over them, I protected them, and I looked that they bring forth fruit. He says they brought forth sour grapes. Sour grapes. God was so displeased. That vine withered up because God says, I withheld rain from heaven. And that land, that vineyard, was destroyed by God as God took down the walls and allowed the enemy, other nations, to go in and dispose of that nation and settle there. God was disheartened. Because of the reaction of that nation, he had favored. Sour grapes! Sour grapes. Is that true of some Christians today? God has planted you in a favored spot. He's given you every opportunity to bring forth fruit unto his glory. But sour grapes. Sour grapes. You know that land, that vineyard is so dry that it says concerning the Lord Jesus, he was a root out of a dry ground in Isaiah 53. The nation of Israel was so dried up, so withered, that it was a dry ground out of which the true vine came. All was left of that great nation was a few faithful Jews. Just a little flock. The 12 tribes scattered. The land, it was just a wilderness. And out of that dry land, out of that Jewish nation, what was left of it, up came the Lord Jesus, the true vine. The true vine. And so today, it's not one nation. If all nations now have the opportunity to know something of the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know something of the true vine. The Old Testament, the land of Canaan, was for one nation. Christ is for all nations. That includes you, and that includes me. When you stop to think of what God says about a vine, and what worthless creatures we are without Christ, without the vine, what is the branches? Well, the branches mean nothing. All that the branches are and have and will produce depends on the vine. And a vine in itself, when you think of what God said about it, and I'm going to read it to you, it's over in Ezekiel 15, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree? More than a branch which is among the trees of the forest. Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Can ye make furniture out of a vine? Or will men take a pin of it to hang upon a vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. It is meat for any work. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less than it is meat, yet for any work when the fire hath devoured it and it is burned. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Why is the Jewish nation in the mess that's in today? Just because of disobedience. With enough, and the worst is yet to come. God says, unless the branches abide in the vine, what good are the branches? No good. What can you do with a branch? You can't make anything out of a vine or a branch. You can't make a piece of furniture. It's all crooked and knotted. All it's good for, says God, is either for food or the fire. And friend, you can be either food and feast God, or you can be the fire. Know something of the fire that will burn. It's the one or the other. Man is in this world either to be a fruit unto God or a fire that will consume him throughout eternity. How sad and solemn is the situation. Think of the necessity of this vine. Man separated from God. Your sins have separated between you and your God. So, you're not united to him. The vine and the branches seek of union. But man by nature is separated from God. Your sins have separated you from God. Then man is dead in sin. He's without the life of the vine. Man without Christ is fruitless. God doesn't get a thing out of the sinner. Not one grape, let alone a bunch. God doesn't get a thing out of the life of the sinner. Just a barren piece of land with no fruit, no life. What's the means by which we have this branch in the vine? I think Matthew 13 gives you the secret. You have the sower and he goes forth to sow. That was the Lord Jesus. Then the plower and the plowing and the harrowing of the soil is the work of the Holy Spirit, convicting of sin, showing man he's lost. He needs a Savior. Then you have the seed, and it's the Word of God that he sows. Then you have the soil, and that's the human heart. This is the process towards you becoming a branch in the vine. You're separated from God. You have no life. There can be no fruit. And all you're good for is the fire. You know, there are three things in your Bible that are fruit producers. That is, a fig tree. God likens man unto a fig tree, also the nation of Israel. Then wheat. And then a grapevine. All fruit producing plants. God wants some return. And when he planted Israel, he wanted return. He got no fruit. And when the Lord was here, he saw a fig tree in his pathway, and he went and he looked. He lifted the big leaves. They looked lovely. Lots of foliage. He looked under the leaves, but there was no figs. And he cursed it. And Israel withered up. He comes seeking fruit from you, from me. He doesn't want the exterior, the outward appearance. A put on. No, he looks for real fruit, the heart. So that's where the true fruit comes from. I wonder what he finds in your life as a Christian. So you have man likened unto these things. Fruit bearing is what God expects, that's what he wants. All this is the result of death, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground that die and abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so Christians can only bring forth fruit if they know what Christ died for and for whom he died. His life wouldn't enable you to bring forth fruit. His death only. He died that we might live. He died that he might be the vine into which we can find a place and produce fruit for his glory. And so the need of this union, we're going to bring forth fruit unto God. You know, life and fruitfulness is the main subject of this chapter. He's not talking about salvation. That's not in this chapter at all. Once you're born again, If you're in the vine, you're the true branch, and you're in the vine. You're saved, and the same life that's in that vine is in the branch. The same life that's in Christ is in you. That means you're saved, and you're saved forever. And you're going to live as long as the vine lives. Jesus Christ is going to live forever. So will every branch in that vine. What's he talking about here? Not salvation. You can't lose that. Once you're saved forever. He's given unto you eternal life. You never perish. He gives everlasting life, and everlasting means exactly that, everlasting. You have everlasting life when you're in that vine. And the very same life that's in that vine is in you, exactly. Jesus Christ is everlasting. And so is every branch that is in that vine. But the subject he's talking about here is fruit bearing. You can't bring forth any fruit unless you abide in that vine. What kind of fruit is he talking about? Then he talks about some lovely fruit over in Galatians chapter 5 and 22, and it's ninefold. He speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. And when you are in Christ, you have the Spirit within you. And he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Isn't it lovely to think of that big cluster of grapes? And this is to be the fruit emanating from a Christian's life. You can't produce it in the flesh. Only a branch that's in that vine can produce this fruit. You as a sinner cannot produce this fruit. An absolute impossibility. You've got to be a Christian to produce this fruit. Because the fruit of the Spirit produces these things. You can do it. Man can do it. Only the Spirit. It's remarkable when you think of this. Three sets of threes in the fruit of the Spirit. First one, love, joy, peace. That's inward. Isn't that nice to have love, joy, and peace in your heart? Then the next three, outward. He speaks of long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness toward others. The last three is upward. That's the God. Faith, meekness, self-control. And here you have the fruit of the Spirit. And this is only possible when a Christian is dwelling in Christ by the power of an unbreathed Holy Spirit. Wonderful, isn't it, to know that I'm not only saved, I'm not only in Christ, but I'm bearing fruit. And that's what he's talking about in this chapter. It's not a case of the branch doing something for the vine. No. You never saw a branch yet try to do something for the vine. It's the vine doing something for the branch. It's bearing it. It's sending its life through it, resulting in fruit. I'm not trying to do something for Christ. It's Christ doing something through me. All I got to do is let it. Whatever I've done for God in 54 years since I became a branch, I didn't do it. He did it through me. That's the point. The vine is doing something through the branches. It's the life of the branch, of the vine going through the branches and producing the grapes, the fruit. Without me, he says, you can do nothing. And it's only in the sense that I abide in Christ that these things are so. A lot of people are running around trying to do something for the Lord. They're running around like a chicken with its tail off. Always busy running here, running there, doing that. They don't know something of what the old hymn used to say, constantly abiding. Constantly abiding. Abiding in Christ. Allowing Him to work through me. That's why the apostle says, and he says to by the Spirit, without me, ye can do nothing. If you do it without the Spirit, it's just the works of the flesh. Thus, our responsibility is to abide in Christ. What does it mean to abide in Christ? To abide in Christ is to maintain that right relationship with God that enables Him to work out His purposes through you. Any preacher gets on the platform and says, well, I can handle this situation. I don't need any help from the Lord. I'll preach the Bible the way it is, in my own strength. That'll be a flop. It's only the preacher who preaches as the Spirit gives help that there'll be any fruit in the gospel. And there's something very noticeable here, that the fruit is first character before its service. That those things I mentioned in Galatians, that's character. A person on a sick bed can produce all nine of those things and never step on a platform and never go to the mission field. A sick person who's never put their foot on the floor can bear those fruits. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Go over those nine things. That's character. They can be produced by an invalid. That invalid can produce that fruit that God loves. That's character. And out of character there's service. And my service will only amount to fruit for God when that fruit is in my character. And I'm abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. What I am characterizes what I do. I can know some preachers, and I'll tell you one thing. Their character is not very good. I know they've got a bad character. And I don't think they're accomplishing much for their service either. Character comes first, and then service. That's what your Bible says. That's not what I say. And so here is our responsibility to abide in Christ, in utter dependence upon the Lord in all that I do. I think you have the Lord saying that in verse 10. He said, if ye keep my commandments, ye abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The Lord Jesus abiding in His Father. Now He says, you abide in me. The Lord Jesus Christ was abiding in His Father's love. All He talked about was His Father's will and His Father's work. And He was abiding in the Father. Every moment of every day, He was living in utter dependence upon God. He never took one breath out of fellowship with God. Jesus Christ abided in the Father. Now He says, you abide in me. Utter dependence upon God. That's the life of abiding. Allowing the Lord to pour His life through you. Producing fruit. Nice to wake up during the night. I know, well, I'm in Christ. I'm abiding in Christ. And through the day, depending on the Lord for everything, trusting Him for everything. Lord, you do it. I can. And He will. This is the secret of abiding, as we find it in the Bible. Abiding in Christ, the same very nature that was in God, in Jesus Christ, is in me. A wonderful thing. Divine nature. The nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't do anything in my own strength. 9 times in this passage the word abide is found. 12 times in the Gospel of John, and 12 times, I think it is, or 13 times over in the Epistles. 27 times John speaks of abiding, 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 or continuing, continuing. Abiding in Christ. You know, there's something solemn in verse 1 and 2. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. There's a solemn in it. If a Christian is not bearing any fruit, he can take it away. Has he done that? Imagine a Christian living in this light with no testimony for the Lord. Over in 1 Corinthians, you find a case. For this cause there are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What does that mean? God says, I just took you home. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they both lied. And God said, you come up here. They were sick and dead. He taketh away. God has left his people here for a purpose. And that is to bear some fruit. Now, if you want more fruit, you have 3 degrees of fruit in connection with the wheat in Matthew 13. 30-fold, 60-100. Here he speaks of fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Did you notice those 3 things? You have fruit in verse 2. You have more of the fruit in the end of verse 2. And you have much fruit in verse 5. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And if you're a Christian and there's no fruit at all, why does God want to leave you here? You're just a bad testimony for his name. And God has taken some hope. You're not bearing fruit. But I think there's another, I enjoyed this past week. You know, the Bible's a wonderful book. Sometimes there's a word in the original Greek that has different expressions, different meanings, when put into the English language. And this is one. This word that gives us he taketh away also is a word meaning aerial. It means something else. It means lifting up. Same as you have over in Revelation. Lifting up the hand. Lifting up the eye. Lifting up the voice. And it's nice, isn't it? Here is God in his severity as a keeper of his vineyard. Here's a person saved and they're not bringing forth any fruit. And he takes them home. To leave you here is to disgrace my name. But on the other hand, and it's up to God as to which choice he makes and which course he takes. He says here's a branch, it's born fruit, and he lifts it up. Quite often this happens when a man goes to his vineyard, especially in these parts of the country where this is their living, making wine. Vineyard. And after a terrible storm, he walks through the vineyard and here's a big bunch of grapes, a big branch, loaded with fruit, and it's fallen off its support. And there it is down in the mud. A mud's all over the grapes and the leaves. What does he do? Go and get a saw and saw off that branch? No. He lifts that branch up. He washes off the mud off the grapes and the leaves. Sometimes some worms get on it. I read of one, and he found a snake curled under that big loaded branch of grapes on the ground. But he lifts up that branch and he gets it back on its support. And the crop of grapes are reaped later on. He lifts us up. Isn't it wonderful? The Lord lifted up Simon Peter. Simon Peter had produced some fruit in his life, and then he fell. He denied the Lord with oaths and curses. God could have taken him home. God says, no, I think Peter still has potential. The Lord saw his broken heart, and the Lord lifted him up. And he got back on the support again. The Lord says, I have prayed for thee, Peter, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted or restored to fellowship with me again, you strengthen your brethren. Produce some more fruit. And he did on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were saved, and Peter bore more fruit after that fall than he did before. Isn't it nice? The Lord can cut some off, and he can lift others up. But there's something else in this verse he does. And you'll notice in verse 2, he purges it. He purges it. What's this? The gardener is using the knife now. He wants to cut away superfluous leaves and little shoots and sprouts. He cuts the vine. Lopping off something here, cutting out something there. Why? That it might bring forth more fruit. God wants you to bear more fruit. You're bearing some. Maybe 30-fold, but he wants 60-fold. Maybe he wants 90-fold. 100-fold. He's the keeper of the vineyard. That's it. And he sees you've got potential for more fruit. He's not going to overdrive you or want to get more out of you than you can bear. So he'll have to do a little pruning with the knife. Cutting out some things. And the knife sometimes is painful. Purging. I remember one time, and I knew this family well, I stayed in the home of Campbell's in Petersburg, West Virginia, or Virginia. They're a lovely family. And Mr. Campbell had a nice grapevine. It ran right down from the back door to the fence at the back. My, it was lovely. So Mr. Bradford, who was the preacher staying at the time, I heard him tell this incident. Now, Mr. Campbell told him that morning he was going to prune that vine. And he says, when I came home tonight and I took one look at it, he said, he ruined it. He said it was just like one stick bone out of it. He cut so close to the vine, he lopped off just about everything. And he said, he may have known something about his vine, but he said, he ruined that one. Mr. Bradford said the next year it had the greatest crop of grapes it ever had. Yes, sometimes the Lord has to use the knife to cut away some things. He comes pretty close sometimes. He's cutting things off. He wants more fruit. But you know, there's no time when the man of the vineyard, the owner of the vineyard, the keeper of the vineyard, there's no time that he's so close to the branches as when he's doing the pruning. Maybe you know something of the pruning knife. The Lord is trying to get more fruit out of you. There's no time when you're passing through sorrows and sufferings and hardships as a Christian. There's no time the Lord is so close to you as then. And he wants you to bring more, forth more fruit. I've known Christians to go through some sad experiences, some painful experiences. But oh, how mellowed they were after that experience. That close brush with death, when they didn't know whether they were going to make it. But the Lord in his grace brought them through, and they brought forth more fruit. They found out that life here was to be lived for him, not for self. He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. mortal. Verse 6 is quite a difficult verse. At the same time, it has its meaning. I don't think verse 6 applies to a genuine branch. It says, if a man abide not in me, notice those words, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Men don't administer the judgment of God. And as one scholar puts it, it was a peg stuck in. It wasn't a real branch. It's thrust forth. It's like the tares in Matthew 13. Almost like the real wheat. So much so that the Lord says, don't you disciples tear up the tares. You're like they pull up wheat too. There's such a similarity. And there are people who can be very much like a real branch. But they've never received the life of Christ. They've never been born again. They've never been quickened by the Spirit. They've never been washed in the blood. And they look like a branch. But they're not. The result is they wither up. And men take them. What can men? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you profess to be a Christian, you better live it. And if you want to know how a Christian should live, ask the unconverted. They know. And you know, the unconverted can really use the tongue. You know what the tongue is like? And you find this over in James. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And if you're professing to be what you're not, the unconverted will burn you up with their tongue. They'll tell you what a hypocrite you are. Find out you didn't have anything after all. That's why you're not bringing forth much fruit. How wonderful to bring forth fruit unto the Lord. Are you fruit-bearing this morning? At no time, as I've already said, is the Lord so close to his people as when he's doing the pruning. Maybe he's close to you this morning. In fact, if you're not even saved, he may be drawing close. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to consider your life. You're not even a branch in the vine. You'll have no real life until you get into Christ and Christ gets into you. And then in the power of the Holy Spirit and daily fellowship with the Lord, you can bring forth fruit. You know, there are big branches. There are little branches. There are old branches. There are young branches. Christian. But it's nice to be a little branch in a big vine. Just a little branch in a big vine. And that's where I am. Just a little branch in a big vine. Or like the bottle, and a man wants to throw it out into the ocean, well, he'll have to let a little of the ocean in. He lets all the ocean go to the bottom, but he lets so much in to have enough air in there, and he throws it out. And there you have a bottle in the ocean, and the ocean's in the bottom. And said, that's the only thing that keeps us going now. Are you a Christian? You're saved? A little of Christ is in you. Here you are, you're floating around in this great, vast, low ocean of the love of God. Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. How vast is this atmosphere, this element in which we live and move and have our being. Jesus Christ is everywhere. And this morning, I can by faith abide in him. He by his Spirit can quicken my heart. As a sinner, he can quicken me to being light in Christ, a branch in the vine, Then, by abiding in him, the branch can look up to this leaves and look at the sunshine as it shines down and warm, and the rain falls. It needs that. The nights come and so the day. The dew falls as well as the snow. And all the branch does is just abide and abide. It takes what comes. And it grows. It grows and it grows. This is the life of this one. Abiding in Christ. Taking what comes. What he permits to send is part of the pruning. As long as I'm bearing fruit, that's the major. And the more we abide in Christ, the more we know of his power, the more luscious the fruit, and more is the quantity as well as the quality of the fruit. What about the unsaved? You're bearing no fruit. Your life is wasted up to now. You've lived for self, and you've lived for time. And you'll have all eternity to remember that. You spent your life here for self and for time with no consideration for eternity. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Life is lost. How wonderful to be saved and be a branch in the vine. The real thing. And bear fruit. Even if you bear only 30%, that's wonderful. The Lord would like you to bear 60, would like you to bear 100. And there are some Christians who've gone to heaven 100-fold. They were a branch that was in the vine, and Christ in all his fullness filled their hearts and lives. Much fruit. What glory to God. What reward in eternity. How about your life? Empty, fruitless, nothing to it. All you've done is live for yourself. Wouldn't you like to be a Christian? Wouldn't you like to have this life, the life of Christ in you, the life of the vine in you, the branch? I know from day to day, you're bearing fruit. For his glory. That's the most satisfying life a human being can live. Look back over your life and see that you did bear some fruit. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We thank thee for thy precious word. We do trust that those of us who are saved will be exercised about the amount of fruit that we're bearing. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus and our security as branches in him, having his life. Father, may we be exercised about the quantity and quality of fruit we may be bearing. Remember the unsaved. Holy Father, they have nothing. Thou wilt call to remember their past. A blank. The future. It's not bright, it's dark. Holy Father, speak to the unconverted. They may come to know Christ, whom to know his life eternal. He loves them. He loves them now. He gave himself for them. He shed his blood upon the cross that they might be saved. May someone trust him today. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.